We desperately need to hear from God. That especially if I'm not translating and conveying to you God's heart, you definitely don't need to hear from me. You don't need to hear from anybody up here. We desperately need to hear the voice of Christ. And so many times in our walk, we translate maturity or spirituality with activity. We're going to demonstrate our maturity. We're going to demonstrate to God our love for Him. And we wrap it around activity. And so many times we miss the voice of Christ in our activity. It's very uncomfortable sometimes to sit and ponder on His greatness, to sit and listen to what He has to say to His kids whom He loves. It's difficult oftentimes to be in a place where we're not demonstrating something in our activity. But this is the way God loves. He loves despite who we are. He loves without an expectation of performance to merit that love. He's gracious. And to explore the things of God is amazing. And many times we need to pause our activity in order to ponder on those things. And so we're going to spend some time, and it may be a little uncomfortable at times, but we need to have margin in our lives that God may speak, that He may convey His heart. He is spirit. God is spirit. And He speaks to us uniquely in our spirit, in our soul. I'm going to give a lengthy quote, not for me. I'm going to put up a lengthy quote, and we'll read through that. I'll read that to you. And then I'm going to give you a verse. And I want us to wait. And I want us to hear what God has to say to us concerning Himself. Now, I know I just turned down the lights a little bit, but you do have in your bulletin a place to write. But you need to ask Him some questions. And if you need help with that, that's fine. I put some questions on there that may translate well for you. It relates a little bit to the verse. But we need to ask God what He thinks. We need to ask God how His heart beats for us. And so, hang with us and ask God the questions that are on your heart. There's something exceedingly improving to the mind in the contemplation of the divinity. It is a subject so vast that all our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that our pride is drowned in its infinity. Other subjects we can compass and grapple with. In them we feel a kind of self-content and go our way with the thought, "Behold, I am wise." But when we come to this master science, finding that our plumb line cannot sound its depth and that our eagle eye cannot see its height, we turn away with the thought that vain man will be wise, but he is like a wild ass's colt. And with a solemn exclamation, "I am but of yesterday and know nothing." No subject of contemplation will tend more to humble the mind than the thoughts of God. We shall be obliged to feel, "Great God, how infinite art Thou! What worthless worms are we!" But while the subject humbles the mind, it also expands it. He who often thinks of God will have a larger mind than the man who simply plods around this narrow globe. I dare say the most excellent study of expanding the soul is the science of Christ and Him crucified. And the knowledge of the Godhead and the glorious Trinity. Nothing will so enlarge the intellect, nothing so magnify the whole soul of man as a devout, earnest, continued investigation of the great subject of deity. And whilst humbling and expanding, the subject is immensely consolatory. Oh, there is the contemplating Christ, a balm for every wound, and musing on the Father, there's a quietus for every grief. And the influence of the Holy Ghost, there is a balsam for every sore. Would you lose your sorrows? Would you drown your cares? Then go plunge yourself in the Godhead's deepest sea. Be lost in its immensity. And you shall come forth as from a couch of rest, refreshed and invigorated. I know nothing which can so comfort the soul, so calm the swelling billows of grief and sorrow, so speak peace to the winds of trial, as a devout musing upon the subject of the Godhead. It is to that subject, that I invite you in this morning. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Ask God what he wants you to know about him, what he wants you to know about yourself. Jesus, what is unique about what you did in becoming one of us? Jesus, how should this impact the way I live? In what ways have I thought only of myself? Maybe this week, maybe this month. Friends, let me go over the message with you one final time. This message that I proclaimed and that you made your own, this message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. I'm assuming now that your belief is the real thing and not a passing fancy, that you're in this for good and holding fast. First thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins, exactly as Scripture tells it, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead on the third day, again, exactly as Scripture says, that he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers at all the same time, most of them still around, although a few have since died, that he then spent time with James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him, and that he finally presented himself alive to me. It was fitting that I brought up the rear. I don't deserve to be included in that inner circle, is what you well know, having spent all those early years trying my best to stamp God's church right out of existence. Will you pray with me? Father, in this time of wait, there's a foundation of surety that you are communicating with us, that you're speaking to us, that the depth of your love caused you, motivated you to bring into an existence a new covenant. Father, you sent your Son. To fulfill that obligation on our behalf. So this morning, we just want to remember those things. We want to ponder those things. We want to look into those things, meditate on those things, that you would share with us your heart, that would cause the Father to do such a drastic thing. This message is wondrous, mysterious, and beautiful. This morning, as I was pondering these things, that verse in Philippians says that Jesus became human for every human. And when Paul later wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, he said that Jesus said to his disciples as they were sitting there, "This is my body, which is for you. This is my body, which is for you." And there's an element that Jesus is embodied in human form simply for us. He's forever in human form for us. And so for me, this most amazing thing is that not only was that body broken, but he took on body. That's the most amazing thing to me. He took on body. He took on flesh for us. That is a marvelous thing. And not only did he take on that body, but he broke it on our behalf. Let's take together. Dinner. Jesus took the cup. And what stands out to me is he took the cup and he says, "This is the new covenant. The new covenant is going to be written in my blood." Instead of saying, "Ponder on the great things of the new covenant, remember what is yours," he said, "Drink it, and every time you do, remember me." This new covenant was brought to us by God himself. He is so relational. He's so personal. And he wants that relationship with us to be at deep levels, for us to explore the things, the mystery of who he is. And so when he said, "I'm going to die, I'm going to break my body, this blood is going to be for your forgiveness," but the result of that is a relationship. So whenever you drink it, think of me. Think of me. Ponder me. As we take it, let's remember Jesus. Jesus, to be able to even contemplate the beauty of who you are, to even have the opportunity to speak to you and you to us, and I think of all those people in our lives that we've looked up to. People we would never be able to meet. People that really could care less about us. But we held them in high esteem. We wanted to be like them. And yet you, the Prince of Peace, the loving Father, the great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, Jehovah God, had it in your heart to engage your creation, to offer forgiveness, to offer relationship, and then for it to be your delight and intent that we would know you at deep levels. You are truly amazing. I pray that we would not take this for granted. I pray that every time we come and we take the Lord's Supper together, your table, God, that we would remember you. that this would not be some habitual religious activity. But God, that every time we do this, we remember you. We ponder on you. We look into the deep meaning of you. That you would reveal truth from heaven, where you're seated. You are our intercessor, Jesus, continually speaking of the love that you have, speaking out to those in the heavens that you desperately, deeply, intimately love us as your kids. We praise you, Jesus. You've created us physically, but you've renewed us, and we've received rebirth because of you. I thank you in Jesus' name.